This is What's It Like with Dr. Ken Tangen.
Hi, this is Ken Tangen. This is episode 38 of What's It Like. My guest is Mary Varn.
Hi.
From Varnacular or Varnacular.
Yes, that is one of my websites, yes.
And cartoonist. What is an animator?
Oh, man, that's such a deep question. I don't think we animators get asked that very much. The cynical answer is that an animator is grunt who does what they're told and makes things move and hopefully gets paid for it. No, I've been doing it too long. I do all kinds of things, and it seems like animation has come to mean a lot of things these days. I'm not sure that I could call myself an animator back in the glory days of Frank and Ollie, the great, Disney animators, right, and Looney Tunes animators. But
do they still do rotoscoping?
Oh, yes. Actually, I started my career with rotoscoping, but that's often not really considered animation in a lot of circles, just because it's not, you're kind of tracing, and tracing's looked down on.
Well, that's the classic animator technique, though, from Disney, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I don't know how much they relied on it. I know they used a lot of reference. And yeah, I think they did do some rotoscoping. But there's all kinds of different rotoscoping. And they did it wonderfully when they did it. I think they did it in Snow White.
So you have a picture of a person, and then you draw over it in a caricaturization. Is that the idea?
That's the idea that, yeah, they were going for. Yeah, again, I don't know a whole lot about how much they actually straight rotoscoped and how much they just used reference. I think they used a lot of reference, which anybody, does. I mean, that's
you look at somebody and draw what you think.
Yeah, or like you would take video of somebody dancing, I don't know if they did this or not, but for instance, in Beauty and the Beast, maybe they took video of a woman and a man, ballroom dancing or something, so they could get the feel for the movement. But they might not straight trace it, because it might not be, the angle they want, or it might not be the same speed that they want.
Well, since I know nothing about animation, how does that differ from Maya character animation?
Oh, Maya character animation?
Maya character.
Well, Maya's a software. It's a 3D software, and I am not super experienced with Maya at all. I'm more of a 2D animator.
So what exactly do you do?
Well, I freelance, so I do a lot of different things. But for instance, recently I was doing layout on a kids' action adventure show that isn't out yet. Nobody's heard of it. But for that, I wasn't actually doing straight animation. I was just putting all the characters in their key poses that they have to hit and putting them all on model. So one of the challenges in animation is making sure that all your characters adhere to the same design. So because you can have, 20, 50 different animators working on a project, but every time you draw a character, it always has to look the same. So layout is a common job these days in TV, so I would do that.
So it has to do with the consistency of the characters?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I live in New York City. I should live in Los Angeles if I really wanted to hone in on doing a lot of character animation. But in New York City, you have to be a little more diverse with your skill set to get a lot of work. So I work on a lot of advertising things, sometimes I do some motion graphics, which is just, moving titles around so they look flashy and cool. A lot of times I work on animatics, which can be dull but easy, which is basically just blocking out the action without actually making it a finished product. It's kind of like a storyboard set to time. It gives the client a good idea of what the ad will look like and how it'll play out before they actually spend the big money on it to actually produce it.
Are there particular software products that you use for this?
I use mostly After Effects and Flash. After Effects for a lot of advertising, all kinds of stuff. And you can also do character animation in After Effects. Blue's Clues and Little Bill were done in After Effects. And then I use Flash for more just straight up 2D character animation usually.
Flash is it as widely used as it used to be?
I think it is in the animation world. It's actually all this stuff about, you know, Flash not playing on iOS devices and things like that. It doesn't really affect the animation world. It may eventually, because if Adobe, you know, they might stop making it, and then animators, I guess we just use the old versions. But yeah, it's kind of, there's part of Flash, you can, most people probably use it for developing, you know, websites and those things that you can't see on the iPad or the iPhone. But animators just use it basically as a timeline and a drawing tool.
When I first started teaching, we used Director, which has gone away.
Yeah, when I was in college, I used Director. I played around with it a little bit. Man, I forgot about that. That was Macromedia, I think, back when they made Flash as well. Yeah, I used that as a basic timeline.
How did you learn animation?
By doing it. I still have a lot to learn, but yeah, just by doing it. I studied art in college.
When you studied art, was it fine art? Were you looking at sculpture? What kind of areas did you pursue?
Well, I was just getting an overall studio art degree at a university, not at a art college. So I didn't have to concentrate in anything in particular. I mostly did a lot of drawing and painting and some ceramics.
Did you grow up drawing as a child?
Yeah, I did. I drew a lot. Probably when I was real little, I think I just drew about as much as any kid draws. I think most kids draw a lot, right? and then, you know, I just kind of kept drawing. My dad is retired Air Force, so when I was younger, we didn't move around as much as other military families have, but we moved about every 3 years, and at one point we lived in Germany, and I was about 10, 9, 10, 11 when we lived there, and I was a little bit bored and lonely. We'd go on a lot of road trips around Europe, which was awesome. But I just had a lot of time, like, in the car, and so I doodled a lot then.
How did your parents impact your worldview?
Positively. my parents are great. They're always super supportive and positive and help me every step of the way. So that probably helps me to be optimistic.
Was there a moment in your childhood where you said, now I know what I want to do?
Well, I don't know if I was ever very certain about it. I think I was, I just said I was optimistic, but I think I was also a little bit realistic. I was in my like tweens and teens when those Disney movies like Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin and Lion King were coming out. Those definitely made me want to be an animator. But I don't think I wasn't, by the time I went to college, I wasn't really sure. I was also really into English. I did decide to major in art, but I think if I had been more focused on being an animator, I probably would have tried to go to an art school. So I didn't do that. I think I was a little like, not really sure what I was going to end up doing.
So what was your major challenge in school?
I think like a lot of people just social weirdness. I mean, when I was young, like, you know, high school, junior high school, I've always been really kind of shy. And I had some really good friends in high school, but yeah, I think I've always been, I think just kind of overcoming shyness. And I think I would also, I did well in school. I did really well. And I think I sometimes put too much on myself. I got really stressed out. So I think that kind of got to me. And I know I did a lot of that to myself because school wasn't really hard. This public school I was going to in Alabama, it really wasn't that hard, but I just kind of made it hard.
So now that you've survived childhood, what constitutes family for you?
Well, I live with my boyfriend. I don't have kids. And my parents are, I live in New York. My parents live in South Carolina, and I have a brother who is in college himself now. We have a big age gap. So that is my family.
What Was it fun having a little brother?
Or
surprising?
Both. when we were moving back from Germany to, we were going to Alabama, and my parents sat me down and said, "Mary, we have something to tell you." And I thought it was going to be, "We're going to go to Disney World when we get back." And it was, you're gonna have a sibling. Mom's pregnant. And I didn't have any negative emotions about it, although I think I was a little disappointed that the news wasn't that we were going to Disney World. But it was just more like, oh, wow, because I had been an only child. Like, that was part of my identity up until then, you know. And it was so, the idea of having a sibling was so foreign to me. I saw all these other kids with their siblings, and they were always fighting with them, but they also loved them, and it was just confusing. I didn't get that. Although by the time I was 11 and 12, I had a better handle on it. And having my brother there was really great. I was probably more of a mother figure to him in the really early days than a big sister. So maybe something in between. You know, I was 13, 14, 15 when he was real little. And a lot of people thought I was the mom in Alabama, and we'd be in a stroller if my mom weren't with us. But yeah, it was really fun. And we would, he used to love to watch me play video games. So that was really fun for me because I've always enjoyed that. And so, yeah, we've always kind of bonded over video games and stuff.
So why New York?
Well, I figured when I was in college, I worked on a movie called Waking Life. It was an animated movie, and I felt like that was a really great opportunity. It was coming out in the fall after I graduated from college, and you know, I kind of felt like, okay, I guess I'm going to try to be an animator. I was going to school in Austin, Texas, and I basically, if you're going to break into animation, you really need to go to New York or LA, or at least at the time. That's what I felt like. You know, there are opportunities elsewhere, but that's just what it seemed like to me at the time. And LA, like I said earlier, there's more there, but I didn't want to invest in buying a car. and I like New York. I had my college roommate had interned there, and I visited her, and I was scared to move here, but I did it, and it worked out.
What's the best thing about your job?
That I get to do different stuff all the time, different stuff that I mostly enjoy. Even if I don't always like the end product, I can always find something that I enjoy working on. I worked on a show a couple of years ago. I had to go to Los Angeles for it. And I love that job. It was the first time I was directing. I got to do storyboards from scratch and direct the animation. And it was just a really, really fun job. I think everybody hated the show when it came out. But I didn't care. Like, it was fun to work on. There were things that I really liked about it, even if it didn't quite turn out how everybody wanted it to. But it was a really fun experience. So I think things like that where I can always find something fun in what I'm doing, which you kind of have to do because you don't always get to work on the dream, you know, the wonderful TV show that you love, mm-hmm. or, you know, that great movie. Every now and then you do, but.
What surprised you about your job?
That's a good question. That I have to stick up for myself and make sure I get paid. Because I'm a freelancer, and I didn't have to worry about that so much. I've worked on I've had some staff jobs in the past, earlier on, and then I just started freelancing because series work was drying up a bit, and freelancing is just really nice. You tend to make a little more money when you're actually working, so you don't, and it's hard for me anyway to be working constantly with it, although this year I have actually been working pretty constantly, which is kind of nice. But because of that, I get some time off, so that's really nice. And I have a webcomic that I do, so I can have time to work on that. Although, again, this year it's been a little rough. So anyway, I like freelancing, but, you know, you got to deal with a lot of different clients and you don't always get the same protections that you do as a as an employee. So, yeah, that was a little, I haven't had any terrible experiences. Well, yeah, maybe I shouldn't talk about all that, but.
So what's the process like? I call you up and say, Mary, I got this thing I'm going to do. I'm going to do a commercial. Where do we go from there?
Yeah, well, usually, like for advertising, usually I'm at the bottom of the rung. You know, there's a million middle people. there's the company, say Febreze wants to, you know, make an ad to advertise its wonderful, good smelling product, Febreze. And they probably have, you know, a marketing team, and then they hire an agency, and then the agency probably hires a studio, and then that studio hires me. Mm. Often I work at home. It just depends on the studio and what they prefer. Some studios want you to come in. They need you to come in because of how their process works. So yeah, usually they just either call me or email me and book me for certain days. Or
do you have to have a lot of equipment to do what you do?
No, I just have a 2008 Mac Pro that's still going strong because I have a lot of RAM in it. I do have a Cintiq. I don't need it. It's like, you know, the tablet that you, it's the screen that you can draw on. You know, I require some kind of tablet device like that. A Cintiq is the fancy one that I don't, it's not absolutely necessary, but it's certainly nice.
Well, it sounds like fun.
Yeah, I like it.
Would help my tracing if I had one.
Oh, yeah.
About my level of skill.
Well, hey, that's how I got started with rotoscoping.
So you're at the artist level.
Yeah. I'm not a producer. There's a lot of administrative work to be done with this stuff, but yeah, I guess I'm a creative or whatever.
So would you be given a concept or an idea or a storyline, or how much would you be given?
Yeah, it really depends on the project, but usually lately I'm very directed in what I need to do. Like for advertising, the agency usually has a clear idea and then they have a lot of notes and I just do what I'm told. On the ads I've worked on, I'm not directing. I'm just making it happen. So if they want some crazy effect, I got to make that effect happen or something like that.
Would you like to become a director?
I have directed and I enjoy that too. I don't know if I would really be into directing ads or not. I don't know if that would be my thing. I really enjoyed I was an animation director for that show I mentioned earlier. I really like that. I think any kind of TV shows, I would like that. But it's not something I'm really trying to go after. And like I said, I think if I were, I should move to LA. I'm pretty happy doing just freelance and advertising. Like I said, you know, it kind of pays pretty well, pays just as well as probably if I were directing for a kids' TV show. So I'm happy doing that, and then I can work on my comic because that's kind of where my heart is.
So is that what you're really going after? Is your comic?
Yeah. I mean, that's yeah. Like I don't. If you mean going after by trying to make a living off of it, that would be wonderful. I don't know if that would ever happen. I won't be crushed if that doesn't happen. But that's what I really enjoy doing. That's, you know, with animation, it's so collaborative and that's wonderful. But my comic is something, it's the one thing I can do that I have complete control over the vision and the execution. So yeah, I really enjoy that.
So you're enjoying your life the way it is and with the mix that you have and don't feel compelled toward a particular goal or specific activity?
Is that terrible? That's really.
I'm just summarizing. I'm not pushing.
Right. No, I would say. Yeah, I would say the goal for me is to just keep on working and getting work and to continue my comic and push that as much as I can as far as improving it. I feel like I'm getting better at writing and drawing and those kinds of things. So that's very fulfilling for me. And I always learn different things with the animation work that I do.
Well, with more with Mary Varn, right after I remind you of the importance of health. When the ALS Association was founded in 1985, I really had never heard of ALS. Amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, I had no idea what it was. I'd heard of Lou Gehrig, baseball player, and I knew he had some kind of weird disease, but he was way before my time, so I really didn't know much about it. It didn't really become something I was familiar with until my mom was diagnosed with ALS in 1987 and died from it the following year. And that's about how long it typically is. Usually from diagnosis to death is a year to year and a half, sometimes two. Some people live longer with it, but it is a terrible disease. It's not contagious, but it is progressive. It's a neuromuscular disorder that gradually kills you. Here's how it works. Your brain is connected to your muscles by these motor neurons. So the brain says something, and the little neurons carry the electrical impulses down to the muscles. In ALS, the muscles work fine, or at least they would if they received the signals from the brain, but these motor neurons die off. No signal, no movement, and with no movement, eventually, no breathing, and you die. So it's important to figure out why these motor neurons die, and even better, how to keep them alive. If you want to become a researcher, this is an interesting area to pursue. But if research isn't really your thing, but you want to help, go to ALSA.org and donate to the ALS Association. Your help would be greatly appreciated. So, Mary, everybody has to give themselves motivation occasionally. How do you give yourself a kick in the pants?
In order to motivate myself for my comic, I make a commitment to my readers that it's going to be up Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So that's a big kick in the pants. And I take my commitments very seriously. So that's definitely going to happen. And then I would say, like, just more short term, if I just want to motivate myself on an hourly basis, I would take a walk or just get out of the house.
Let me turn the question around. When you have to soothe yourself, how do you calm yourself down?
I'm still trying to find the answer to that question. red wine, video games, probably mostly. Although they don't always calm me down, so I have to choose wisely when I'm, you know, sometimes just playing solitaire on my phone, or sometimes playing Minecraft or World of Warcraft or something like that, escaping into something like that.
Is there an event in your life that has challenged you to the core?
I've been very fortunate. I would say maybe moving to New York City when I was, I guess I had just turned 22, and it'll be 10 years ago this August. And that was hard for me because I'm very happy in Austin. I had great friends, and I didn't really know what I was going to in New York. And New York kind of seemed big and scary to me. It's a big city, definitely a bigger city than I had ever lived in. I think Austin was the biggest city I'd ever lived in at that point. So, yeah, it was, and then getting here, and then finding an apartment, and pounding the pavement. At that time, animators gave people reels, actually in a VHS form. I mean, DVDs had been around, but people still preferred VHS then, and then it just went a few years later. Finally, people would just send URLs. But I would just call people and say, hey, can I drop off my reel? And I'd go do that. And it was hard to get a job. In hindsight, it doesn't seem that hard, I think, or that long. But I moved here in late August, and I got a job in November. But at the time, at 22, and you just think, what, I have a college education. give me a job. it was hard. And also, September 11th had just happened, like 3 weeks after I moved here, so it was a depressing time in the city. I didn't know, you know, if I was going to stay here, if I was going to be able to, you know, get a job and all that. So, but I'm glad I stuck it out. And just that experience of, okay, move to New York, get an apartment, try really hard to get a job, and then finally getting one, it gave me a really good sense of accomplishment and just a feeling of, you know, I can do it.
Had you set yourself a timeline?
Yeah, I set myself a timeline that was shorter, that was about 3 months, I think. But I ended up signing a six-month lease. So I hadn't wanted to sign that long of a lease, but it's kind of, you know, it's hard to get an apartment in New York City, and it was a really good situation with some really nice people. So when I did that, I was giving myself 6 months, and luckily I got a job within then.
If you're giving a commencement address to high school or college, giving your best advice, what would you say?
That's tough. Well, I'd have to write this out more eloquently. but I guess I would probably, I'd probably want to touch on, I think you should find a balance between sticking up for yourself, but also, and seeing the difference between these two things, and keeping your ego in check. And I guess what I mean by that is, I see in the creative field, you know, you have a lot of egos, and you really have to take direction to succeed. You can be wildly talented, but nobody wants to work with you if you can't put your ego aside and try to accomplish the vision of the directors and writers.
So it's best to be wildly creative on your own projects?
I think you can take that. I think you can be wildly creative in your project that you're doing for people. But I think you just need to not have too much of an ego about it, and be recognized. You know, you can say your piece, but then recognize when it's time to just do what the director wants you to do. And then at the same time, you need to stick up for yourself. If you're going to work for free, do an internship, stuff like that, I think you set kind of a limit, you know, like only a year after college and then no more working for free or something like that. Maybe not even that. Maybe only working for free during summers between college. I don't know. But that's, you know, that's a common, and not underselling yourself. You know, a lot of studios are like, oh, we can get that 23-year-old just out of college for really cheap.
I believe ideas are powerful. Is there an idea that has changed your life?
Try to see the other person's point of view. Be empathetic to that. I think that gets you pretty far.
My last question is, help me get better at this process. Think of something that we haven't talked about. Everybody's got good stories. What should I have asked you to tell me your story?
I had a lot of time between freelance jobs. I was playing way too much World of Warcraft. And I just felt like I'd always wanted to do my own animated short. So many of my animator friends had gone to school for animation. They'd gone to like an art institute and usually have to make a film. And I had never done that because I just went to university and got this real general art degree. So I always kind of felt like I should do that, but I wasn't super motivated. It was just hard to find the motivation to do that. And a friend of mine who worked for a gaming site mentioned that they were looking for comics, and it just clicked, like, oh yeah, I could try doing a comic. And I'd never thought about doing a comic before, but I'd always read the comic strips in the paper growing up, like every day. And I loved them. So yeah, I just kind of went in head first, had no idea what I was doing. Still don't a lot of the times, but it's a great experience. I'm learning a lot and connecting with people online. So it's been really cool.
Now, your comic is about a gamer girl?
Yeah. It's a girl. She plays World of Warcraft, and she has two crazy cats, Chloe and Bink, who are, they also play World of Warcraft, and they get into lots of mischief.
Do you have cats?
I do have cats.
So this is a bit autobiographical?
It's loosely inspired by my life, I would say. yeah, definitely.
So where is your life headed?
I don't know. to good things, I hope.
Yes, indeed. I want to thank Mary Vaughn for joining me. Thanks, Mary. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.